Dear Saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians this evening hold much for us to think about. For many of us were baptized when we were just little babies, like my daughter, Clara. Young and small. Some may have been baptized a little older, and maybe even a little older than that, and maybe even in adulthood. But many are baptized as young children. We don't remember that moment, but maybe remember pictures that were shown of that day. Maybe the pastor posed with us after the service to get, you know, the money shot of pouring water over the head for you to see what the pastor did for you in that moment and what it means for us. Even Martin Luther reminded us that prior to our baptism, no matter how young or old we were hostile to God. We were against what God had created us as mankind to be originally. And so the words of St. Paul are harsh and tough words to hear, because we in our sin share much with the Ephesians, who were the Gentiles of that day and age, who had not heard God's word, or if they had, they had turned from it. And they were following God, and they were not part of God's people at this time, until the word came after Christ's death and resurrection and ascension through the words of the apostles. And so here it was that these words, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And later on, he goes on to say that there was hostility that we held that would be killed by the blood of Christ. This is our sin. It's much like we are. If we have siblings sometimes growing up, we don't always get along with them. We should, shouldn't we? We should like our brothers and our sisters and cousins and other family members. But sometimes there's hostility for various reasons between siblings. Maybe one wants this toy or one wants that toy. Maybe one wants their own room and the other wants to share. Or maybe one wants the top bunk or one wants to do the chores and one doesn't, or one wants the other to do all the chores while they sit and relax and enjoy whatever it is that they want to do. Maybe you remember moments in your life where you felt hostility, anger, frustration with others around you. Maybe even that way with God. Sin is a terrible separation between us and God. And we cannot make ourselves any more part of God's people of our own accord than that of the Ephesians in their day. But St. Paul doesn't leave them sitting with this big stone of the law on their chest. No. He gives the same gospel that we hope for, that's given to us in our baptism. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to this Father. And here he's talking about two men. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. They are two people living in this world. The generation separated by belief and unbelief, by the promise and the lack there of clinging to the promise. But now, in the one man, Jesus, who steps in place of the man Adam who had led all of mankind into sin, bearing our sin, covering it with his blood, and dying on the cross for each and every one of you. Now he unites all the people who believe, whether from the people of God, from the Jewish people or the Gentiles, anybody in the world who believes is now united to Christ and now has hope and peace in him. Because now, where we do not have access to God in Christ Jesus, you have access to God. For you are one in spirit, and there you have access in that one spirit to the Father in heaven, who gives you the Son, who died for you on the cross, and there forgives your sins. And there he gives us his Spirit, and we receive his Spirit in his Word, in the Scriptures, and in the sacraments. As he leaves his Spirit on us, as we're washed in the waters of baptism, as Christ spoke to the apostles of what was coming in the gospel today, he says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." You see, as he speaks to the apostles, and yes, those words to them give us some strength and some hope as well. Because as he left them with his peace, they shared that peace from generation to generation. And that peace they clung to in Jesus, as he looked to the cross where he would die for them and for you, there it is. That he is preparing a place for you. And there he goes to the Father, who has set a time and a place for when he will come again. So as we come and we prepare for this Christmas time, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior this year, we look to the manger, we look to the cross, and we look to our Lord, that there we would see that he would return one day and give life everlasting for you. For he gives you his peace in his body and his blood. That there you would find forgiveness, salvation, and life everlasting. Our world likes to give us peace in all the wrong places. Tells us if we just do things a certain way, we'll be at peace. If we follow the rules and keep what's done, there will be peace. But what the world forgets is we're all sinners. And oftentimes we mess our own peace up, others mess with our peace. Things aren't exactly the way they ought to be for any number of reasons. And if you listen to the news these days, you'll hear of peace being called for out in the east with the wars between Ukraine and Russia, between the people of Israel and Hamas. And some people have one idea of peace, of which way it should go for each of those wars. But the peace that the world brings leaves people dead, leaves people dying, injured and hurt, people suffering in some way. And unfortunately, in the Christian church these days, in America and elsewhere, they're putting their hats on the winners of these wars that they hope for. But see, our God is not a country. Our God is not a people. Our God is the Creator, the one who brought each of you to this life and promised you life everlasting. The wars of the modern age aren't equivalent to what we see in Scripture. The winning of a war out east isn't going to give us peace or salvation or bring some end to what we see in Revelation. It's not what's promised. But what is promised is the peace of your God that comes in the blood of the Savior. The hope that is in Him. As we look to Him who will come, the one who leaves you His peace as He left it for the apostles and they shared with you. And there, as the Father has promised, the advent of your King will be upon us at the time He has selected. And there you shall see Christ return in all His glory with the trumpet sounding. And you will see the advent of your King. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.